Did you ever wonder what it may be like to be in the actual throne room of the Lord God Almighty? You can get a glimpse this morning. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, we'll be reading the first 8 verses. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. We invite all those who are able to kneel with us in prayer.
We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. We'd ask an interest in your prayers. I'm getting to be an old man, and I realize that my time here on earth won't be too long, and I'm ready to go, sooner the better. So I ask you this morning to pray that God's will would be done in this service. Subject this morning is entitled Holiness Among Husbands, Wives, and Their Families. The year was 1924. Eric Lindell was training to run the 100-meter dash at the Paris Olympics. Sports writers predicted he would win. When the schedule was announced, Eric discovered the race was on a Sunday. Because he would not dishonor God by completing on the Lord's Day, he refused to enter the race. Eric's fans were stunned. Some called him a fool. He said, I'm not running on the Lord's Day. Since he was a popular athlete, the British Olympic Committee asked him to train in the 400 meter. He decided to train for it. He went on to win the 400 meter and set a world record in the process. God honored his uncompromising spirit to live a holy life for his Savior. To the average American, holiness sounds scary. Many think that holiness would never be seen in the office of a salesperson, nor a teenager in high school, or a student and seeking a career. What is holiness? Holiness is thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. Holiness is an everyday business of every Christian. It shows its faith in the decisions we make and the things we do hour after hour, day after day. All that the Christian does should be sacred. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. The word holiness unto the Lord should be embraced over everything the Christian does. The purpose of God is not to save us from hell only. The purpose of God is to save us, to make us more holy like Christ, who is holy. He is untouched and unstained by the devil, by the evil of the world. We want to look at the subject this morning in four different areas. Am I seeking personal holiness? Two, some ways to fulfill my calling of being a holy husband. Number three, some ways to fulfill my calling of being a holy wife. And number four, are our children living, seeking holiness? Am I seeking personal holiness? Am I, as a husband, fulfilling God's mandate, carrying out the responsibilities the Lord has entrusted to me to live a holy life? We live in a world that is mixed with mixed values, discrediting God's law of the male and female order. Someone has said, we do not live in a man's world. When he is born, they say, how's the mother? When he's married, they say, isn't she a lovely bride? And when he dies, how much did he leave her? Are you, as a wife, the faithful helpmeet to stand by your husband, who is expected to lead you and your family? It has been a deep concern on my heart that we in our conservative churches have been somewhat neglecting our God-given responsibilities of holiness in our homes and our churches. God has established a basic standard for living a holy Christian life, and that responsibility is placed upon we as godly leaders in our homes. We must be able to explain and to live with love and commitment the requirements of God, helping them to gain a desire to serve the Lord faithfully. In Ephesians 5, verse 5 and 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are over. The days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Reading out from a paraphrase, so be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to. Brethren, there's a need for we as men to be strong in convictions, strong to lead, strong to stand, and strong to seek God's holiness. We as men cannot care for these precious needs and concerns of the home without the control of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a spiritual checkup. Am I a born-again Christian as a husband, as a father? Not just a church member. Have you been in God's throne room, as our brother read this morning in Isaiah 6? Have you experienced his touch in your life? Are you living for him? Have you confessed all your sin and turned away from them? How deep is your commitment to be holy, to detect health problems before they become serious? Doctors recommend a routine physical exam. We need to do the same for our spiritual life. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This verse is a deep concern to me. That's why every day I pray Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if it's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As I grow older, I realize that Satan will try to sidetrack every one of us at some stage in our life. It may even be in our old age. And I'd like you to pray for me that I continue to be faithful. I want to please my Lord. I want to love him more. I want to serve him better. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. Do I love God with all my heart? Because he first loved me. Which is stronger, my desire for earthly gain or the treasures that are mine in Christ? Loving him, ready to care to give up anything and suffer for him if need be in order to please him and to glorify his name. Do I love God with all my soul? 1 Corinthians 1:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Do I listen to God telling me who I am? Am I moving away from self-centered desires? Am I becoming more compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient? Thirdly, do I love God with all my mind? In verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. Do I love the Lord with all my mind? Do I focus on my relationship with his son? And do I let my mind wander on wrong things, desiring to know God and his holy will? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if it be any virtue, if it be any praise, think on these things. Do my thoughts lead to problems or solutions, to unity or division, forgiveness or revenge? Do I love with all my strength? Verse 17. But whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I willing to be seen as weak so that God can show his strength on my behalf? Am I relying on his grace to be strong in his Holy Spirit? Colossians 3:16, he will equip us to build each other up as we become holy and useful to him. Am I seeking personal holiness? Are you seeking personal holiness? Secondly, some ways to fulfill my calling of being a holy husband. When your wife married you, she has some high standards as she expected of you. There are no perfect families, but there's some basic needs that are in her life that God expects we as men to meet. A holy relationship with Jesus Christ as a holy leader. I have this cry again and again. I heard it from sisters who say, I wish my husband was a more godly man and would seek the Lord's blessing of holiness in our family. Let's look at five marks of a holy leader. A desire to seek the Lord. a regular time in God's word and prayer and regular time at church. Why is this so important? It reminds us every morning that we belong to a holy God that desires to have us guide and direct our families for him in holy living. Number two, our closest friends are should be sincere Christians that love the Lord. Thirdly, we should have convictions based on God's word. And fourthly, we should be determined to follow convictions, whatever the cost. Love displayed in whatever is done. Is your wife and children experiencing the guidance and protection of a holy leader? Are you a holy leader as a husband? How is our relationship with the Lord? Your wife needs to know she is meeting vital needs in your life and work that no other woman can meet. Tell her your struggles that you deal with. Tell her what you can do to help and pray for you. Never compare her to another woman, especially your mother. She needs to see and hear and feel that you deeply love and cherish her. Does she really know that you do? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that the type of love you have for your companion? She is God's gift to you as a helpmeet, sacrificing selfish desires so that her life will be a blessing and a fulfilling experience for her. Do we need to give up some of our interests and hobbies, such as fishing, hunting, sports activities, even spending too much time at work? She needs to be told with her lips, with your daily actions, our deep concern for her needs, protection, and comfort. A weakness of many men is geared to conquer. We have gained a wife. Now what are we seeking to do? What value are you putting on her as a godly, holy husband? She knows. Ask her about her fears, her joys, her concerns. If you do not take time for her to share, Satan has a foothold in your marriage. Another man may take time to listen. Beware. Never take her for granted. She deserves your time with her. She will become according to the value you place on her. Tell her, show her special acts of kindness. How well do you know your wife? She needs to know you are making investments in her life that will be for eternity. We as husbands need to be the spiritual and holy protector over our wives. We need to encourage her to have a daily quiet time alone with the Lord. We need to experience our family altar. We'll be together as a family, pray for each other and encourage one another. We need to answer her spiritual questions. Help her develop spiritual convictions so that she can use her special gifts to God's glory. Our lives have put a great trust in we as husbands. She has given up her security of her home to start one with you. She has given up her name to take your name. She has put her physical, emotional, and spiritual needs under your care. Am I, as a husband, fulfilling God's holy calling to supply her needs? A very sobering question. Thirdly, some ways to fulfill your calling of being a holy wife. Do you understand that there are two little bears that will help make our marriage a success? Bear and forbear. If we will learn to bear each other's responsible personalities, differences, and sayings and doing, we either hurt or hinder our relationship. Will we have a successful marriage? As a husband and as a wife, We have been created for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to God. Do you as a sister understand what God expects of you as a wife to the husband he has allowed you to love and enjoy? It's a high calling for a woman to be chosen from among all womanhood to be the wife of a godly, holy man. Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. Are you a crown to your husband? Most sisters in the Lord do not realize how much influence they have on their husbands. We could look at many examples in God's Word. Wrong influences, evil, Eve, Rebecca, Bathsheba, Jezebel. Or we can look at godly influences. Moses' mother, Lois and Eunice, Pilate's wife. Let's look at some qualities of a virtuous woman. She knows that her sufficiency is in Christ, not in her husband, even though he should be helping her to grow Christ-like. No man can fulfill all your needs. This is the reason we need a time of daily communion with the Lord and his word and prayer in a fellowship and obedience. In Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You need to have a submissive spirit obeying God's word. Colossians 11:3, but I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of the Christ is God. Following God's example, Jesus' example in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands when they feel like it. It says, in everything. This does not mean that we should not share, you should not share your views, and that you could not appeal to your husband, but you need to treat him with reverence. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself, and the wife see that you reverence her husband. Do you show reverence to your husband? What is reverence? A feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, and awe for that person. Number four, a holy helpmeet. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him, a helper suitable for him to be a holy man. Are you that type of woman? And Titus 2:5, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There's many dangers go with women working outside of the home. It weakens the family. Many times there become affairs are involved in the work schedule. Children are neglected. What happens to her youth? No one's at home. Only dressed to please the peer pressure. And it robs wife and mother of time with the Lord. Every man has some basic needs that you as a virtuous, holy wife can fulfill. Your role of a mother is very important, but neither should it put ahead of your role as a godly wife. Godly, holy women are wives for 40 to 60 years. Mothers in your home are about 18 to 21 years. Don't let that relationship crumble after the children are growing because you're not having true unity and love and holiness between couples was not developed. Let's look at some needs, basic needs of your husband. Your husband needs you to respect him as a man. In a Christian education class, the question was asked to men, what do you want from a spouse? I want a woman who will believe in me. When you fell in love and married you, he felt that you believed in him. And he appreciated that far more than you ever realized. It touched his spirit because this is something huge within the male. He married you and thought your cheerleading would last forever. But life gets busy and you feel unloved and he feels neglected. Satan attacks. Beware. Do you talk for him or interrupt to him when he's speaking? Do you contradict him in front of others? Do you listen carefully to his opinion? Do you appreciate his work effort in providing for you and the needs of your family? Ask him to share with your areas which you can help him to be holy, a holy man of God. Ask yourself this question, in what I'm about to say or do, is it going to come across to my husband as respectful or as disrespectful? A husband needs a wife who accepts him as her leader and believes in his God-given responsibility. Let him know you believe the Lord will bless your family through his spiritual leadership. Thank him. He's not perfect, but if he's trying, pray for him. Ask him your special questions. Encourage him to share his goals and concerns and convictions. Many of us fail to do this unless we're asked. Ask him if you have a resistant spirit, and this can happen in many marriages. Your husband needs a wife who will continue to develop an inward and outward beauty. What did you like about you in your courtship days? Think about them. Do them now. Be careful of personal appearance. Men are attracted by sight. The home, a place of comfort. As a holy wife, your touch makes the difference. A wife who is a holy lady in works and actions and activities. Dedication to God, to your husband and the children. Your husband needs quality time alone with the Lord. The richer his fellowship with God, the sweeter it will be with you. Take time to know each other. We find time for what we value highly. Ask each other, what could I do better for you that would help for both of us to be more holy and caring in our walk with life together? One part of that would be praying for each other together, to hear our companion praying to the Lord to bless him or her brings holy results. Fourth area are our children learning to be holy. Matthew 18:10, take heed, you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. How much do you value your children? Just McDonald has been trying to find out what dads are doing in Christian families, and the news isn't good. In his book, The Dad Difference, McDonald reveals the average teen in our churches spends 2 minutes a day in meaningful dialogue with their dad. Is that your home? Is that your schedule? 25% of these teens say there has never had a meaningful conversation with their father, a talk centered on a teen's interest. Time tells children their value. Time to teach them godly principles and commands. Time to show them God's purpose in their lives. Time to laugh together. Time to teach them good work habits. Time to encourage. Time to challenge their lives. Fathers, be strong, be godly men. You're so needful today. Say to your son, do not follow the phony models of this world, entertainment, movie stars, sports heroes. They don't know you. They don't care about you. They don't belong to you. Follow me. Be like me as I follow Christ. This is what Paul said to challenge each one of us. There was a family. We're in a storm area where a storm went past, and the family had been in the basement because of the damage from the storm. And after the storm had passed over, the family come upstairs and opened the door and looked out, and they saw the wires down and the buildings blown apart. And they had a young daughter ran out the front. Ran out the front door, and the father cried, "Betty, stop. Don't go out there. It's dangerous. Betty, stop." But she didn't stop. She went out. She got a hold of the electric wire, and she went into eternity. What a tragic, what a senseless death occurs because a child has never learned to obey. No is such a simple word, but it is difficult to obey. The world has painted the world strict as a child abuse, as robbing a child of his or her free spirit so he won't become himself. But in reality, strict is a word that develops focus, discipline, achievement, peace, balance, and success in life. Another plea to our young people: obey your parents. Follow your godly parents. You do not always understand them, but they truly love you more than anyone on this earth. Thank them. Thank the Lord for the values your parents have instilled in your life. A visitor spends some time in a Christian home. Each morning at the breakfast table, each one read a verse from the Bible, then joined hands as they were together around the table. They prayed together for the Lord's Prayer, and the father closed with a few words of prayer. A few months later, this visitor visited this young man who was now in college. The man spoke of his pleasant visit with the family of the young man and then asked, "Would you mind telling me what you miss most now that you're away from home?" The boy hesitated for a moment. It's hard for a young man to speak his deepest thoughts. "What I miss most is the close grasp of my father's hand and praying the Lord's Prayer with them all together. Because it would begin the day right and nothing would matter then." He went on with a tear in his voice. "The remembrance of those breakfast scenes at home stand between me and more than any temptation. It keeps me on the straight and narrow way." As we think of holiness, the scripture tells us with that high priestly prayer that Jesus is praying for you and me as Christians. If we could hear him pray, would it affect our lives? What is he praying for me? What is he praying for you? To be a more godly, holy husband, a holy, godly wife, children that bring honor and glory to Almighty God. If we could just hear those prayers, oh, how it would change our lives. As a church, as was prayed this morning in the opening prayer, we as a church are taking a big step in our walk with the Lord. And the reason I felt led to preach on this sermon this morning in the home is that we, as we go forth, let us make sure that our homes are happy, Christian, holy homes that bring honor and glory to God. May God bless us in serving that capacity.
Please stand for prayer.